Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Uplifting Communities Talk Show. All right, and I'll tell you, we got a really good show for you guys tonight. And I'm telling y'all, we got a good show. And I am so happy that you guys are called in. We got a board filled. We got a lot of people that called in to listen at the show. And before I go any farther, I want to pass it on to the host, Ms. Tamaya Gaines. Tamaya, go for it.
Well, thank you, Mr. Brown, for that introduction. My name is Tamaya Gaines. Today is October 29th, 2020. And I want to welcome everyone to the Uplifting Communities Radio Talk Show. Today's talk show is sponsored by California Policy Solutions, advocates for you in Sacramento. And we want to give a special shout out to Mr. Mel Agassi for his support of today's broadcast. Like Mr. Brown mentioned just a few moments ago, we are going to have a dynamic show. We have Dr. Teresa and Jane Shotwell on our show today. And, we're just going to get right into it. Mrs. Shotwell, go ahead and tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
Hi. Well, first of all, thank you for inviting me and allowing this opportunity. I was born in Fort Eustis, Virginia, and I'm the middle child of 11 children. I was raised in Memphis. I left Memphis, moved to St. Louis. I left St. Louis, went to California, and now I'm in Florida. And I was raised by military, so I'm a military brat, and I have had a very good life and good experience. And I'm a world traveler.
Wow. Well,
yeah.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. A world traveler. I see that you've been to India, too. You know, more than once. And you also, you did an interview in India. So how was that interview? Is it the same type of interviews that us American do? How is that? What type of tradition do they have in India?
Well, let's say this. They are just like us. They're very pleasant, loving people that you would adore. Unfortunately, they're poor. It's a poor country. So you have to deal with the elements there. But they welcome you. Of course, you know about the class. They have different classifications of people. You either have it or you don't have it, you know. And so one thing about it is my family, my sister-in-law is from India, and my niece and nephew, therefore, are half Indian. And I love the experience when I go there. I learn something differently, and they're very warm people. And one thing you have to understand is that if you're walking down the street, they may not say anything to you, but as soon as you smile and say hello, they will smile and say hello to you. Otherwise, they may just walk right past you. But the interview went well. They treated me like royalty. Made sure I had everything I wanted. They asked beautiful questions, and they had my poetry and my different things on the wall. I just felt right at home. I felt so special, and that's how they made me feel.
What about their foods? Did you enjoy their food?
Well, you know, I'm a picky eater, period. So they will find what I wanted to eat. I don't eat the gluten, and, you know, gluten is worldwide. Everybody eats
gluten.
What's gluten? But
explain to the audience what gluten is.
Well, flour, wheat, you know, things that is gluten, bread, things like that. So whatever I wanted. And I don't drink any tea. I love ginger tea, and they made sure I had ginger tea and whatever I wanted. And usually I don't eat but one starch. They may have four or five starches on the plate. I'll just eat one. you know. But it was a great experience, and they're very loving, beautiful, loving people.
Mm-hmm. And also, you done taught. You was a professor at several colleges. Okay, for 30 some years totally, and. Yeah, and even San Francisco, even Sacramento, and the last one was Florida. Okay, now tell me something. What was your best subject that you taught all them years? You know, that's
well,
a long time to be a professor.
Well, you know, I changed over. I started in business. And moving from business to education was a pleasure for me. Yet, I could not leave all that I learned in business behind. So one of the topics that I carried with me is PD, professional development. And it was very popular in the business. But I wanted to make sure that I carried that with me. Because that's how I had lived for so long. And PD is really dealing with the attitudes and behavior of an individual. For instance, let me just give you an example. You know, people of color has been wrongfully classified as lazy and always late. Well, we know who built most of these nations, so that can't be all true, right? However, being late seems to have been adopted by a lot of us. So I developed a course in PD for all majors, regardless of what field they are in. It's very important that they know that it does not matter what field or what type of career you're having, PD is always important. So, for example, if I was teaching the future teachers, which is the course, or the administrators who will be the leaders in education, I set boundaries that there were no excuses of being late. Rather, coming to class, no excuses for not turning your homework in. So I had a point system. There's no excuse for a bad attitude because someone in your class said something that you didn't like. You get points from bad attitudes, you know. So
yeah.
That was so developing the course for a non-business major was exciting, and the students loved it. I developed the material, which led to the book. Later, I went on and published a book, but I had developed the material for the class, and the students really loved that, and that was my favorite. Regardless, I could be teaching. I started undergrad, master's, PhD program. It didn't matter. They were treated the same, you know, and they respected it. So no excuse
rule. Well, I'm glad that you brought that up in regards to professional development. I'm a small business owner myself, and I did take a look at your book. Chapter 2 and Chapter 4 really caught my attention, and I want to talk about Chapter 4, the title of Chapter 4, okay, and some of the challenges that we face in our community. And I face this too, being a minority business owner, right? Chapter 4,
okay.
For those of you who are listening, in her professional development book, and she has about 6 books that I saw, Professional Development for Pre-Professionals. It's professional behavioral etiquette in the workplace and social settings. Now, I'm going to read you a post, and this is somebody, a real-life person. I will not disclose their name as to put them on blast on radio. But this is
okay.
A real-life post, and my brother and I was just talking about this. Somebody mentioned on social media, this young lady said, I know I just started a job, and she's a minority. I know I just started this job, but I think I can go for manager already. She said she has people asking her what is she waiting for, and she catches on really quick, H word, but she said she catches on really quick. What is it? Oh, my gosh. Okay, I can only ask you, what is it about our people that will start a job and 2 weeks to 2 months later, they want to jump straight into a management position? Do you have any coaching in regards to that, in regards to patience? How do you handle people with that mindset? Help us out.
Well, that is a difficult position to be in, but the person will have to learn how. There's a social part of what I have written. I've written this so many years ago. But there's a social part of it that you have to, as a manager, be able to deal with. And a lot of us like to start at the top because the money is better, right? But
right.
Being a doctor, let's say a medical doctor, what happens mm-hmm. before they can? What happens before they have to go and can be a full doctor? They have to do internship, right?
Right.
They have to do a 2-year internship. So as a manager, you should have a training time for that person. But you have to prove it through our training process. We need to observe you a little longer, you know. Don't get on the negative with the person because they are already impatient. But if you really want the skill that person offers, you give them another avenue, you know. So, okay, uh-huh. go through this. You have to go through our policy is that you will have to go through this process first before you can move to the next process, you know. So, and that person has an attitude problem, but you can work around the attitude problem through the training. And that's the best way I can think of.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, my thing is that what she was saying, what I understood Tamaya was saying is that the young lady, she just got the job.
Right.
Okay, now she's saying that she's ready to be a manager.
Right.
And that's what happens to a lot of people, you know, in these jobs. As soon as they get them, they want to become a manager, and no other managers is not going to just let you come in and take over their spot.
Amen to that. And there is a time, like I say, it has to be a training period time for management. And that's what most companies I worked with when I was in the business field, they didn't allow you to jump at the top in any situation. You had to do a year or a 2-year, and depending on if you could do it in a year and they were pleased with it, fine. But if they thought you needed a 2-year program, they would put you in a 2-year program. You know, but the company needs to have a training process for that person. So rather that person, she may not be the match that you need.
Wow.
Right. Okay. All right. Go ahead, Mr. Brown. I'll go back to you.
I wanted to ask you another question. At one time, now that this was the old school. Now I don't know if they still doing this. Let's say college or kids that are in college right now. At one time, let's say if they wanted to become an analyst or if they wanted to become work for a large company, let's say Pacific Gas and Electric or the state of California or the state of Florida or whatever. Well, they're in college. Do companies still sponsor young people, people? You know, to work in that company, let's say they go and they finish school, you know, and the company, they automatically got them a job with that company. Do that still happening?
Well, I hope it was.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, it's an internship you're talking about. And yes, it's supposed to happen. I've been away from the university for a while, but it's supposed to happen. each person. I know when I was in the business school and also in the teaching education program, there was always a program within the program that made sure that the students got some kind of internship, either after their graduation or just before they graduate. And they did that for the faculty. We had sabbatical. We had we were able to go in the when I was in the business. We were able. I went to Chicago. I went to what's the country? The British Virgin Islands. Different place where we could exchange ideas. You know. So yeah, it should be still happening. I hope it has.
Yeah, because I don't hear it anymore. You know, like. You know, people telling the young the younger generation, well, you know, see if you can, if you're going to go to school for a computer analyst, well, see if you can go and talk with IBM or talk with somebody that does that and see if you can get a job over there or they'll sponsor you for going to school, going to college. And then when you finish, but then you grade on and you can go to work for them. And I don't see that anymore.
Oh, okay. Well, it was happening. It was very active when I was working. I just hope that doesn't change. You know, because I got good experience by sharing, by traveling and working with other countries and other states. You know, so I'm quite sure. I'm hoping that happens. I haven't been in tune with it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. One of the other chapters in your book, in the professional development book that caught my attention, was the social media and networking pros and cons. A lot of people don't realize this, but as potential employers, one of the first places that they look is your social media page. What can you offer our audience without giving your book away? On the importance of managing your social media account.
Oh, man, I just had an incident with that, and I'm on top of that. Hey, the social media will haunt you for the rest of your life. You know, you have to be very careful about your image. And that is how many people run their career. You know, it's about putting too much information out there about themselves, trying to impress the wrong people. And it always comes back. Someone's going to take a picture of it or somebody's going to keep it and use it against you one way or the other. So you need to be very, very careful on what you say and do on social media. Someone is always watching. And so... the image is very important. And as I got started on this, when I was writing my dissertation and I was writing about, and I learned about these different celebrities who have lost their brand, their business, even money. You know, we're talking about athletes. We're talking about not only athletes, but other celebrities, you know. That have
I think Nick Cannon was a victim of that here recently too, right?
Right. It's so many. It goes back years. It goes back how they have lost it because of, you know, their image. They lost the image. They lost their brand. They lost their money. They lost everything, you know. So that's why it's so important, and I, especially you young people who – think you know everything, be careful. You know, your career hasn't even gotten started yet. So if you wanted to start, just be careful what you say and do and what you put on there. If you can't say it, keep in mind that that is the first place that some people now are going to, social media. They put your name in there, and they're looking for you. You know, they're looking for you when you fill out that application. When you still, when you're trying to move another level where you are, they're going to address that. So just be careful with the social media. I really wish you would.
Okay. And if you could, can you give us some examples of what kind of things would be damaging? Because, and with that, it's a fine line of expressing your First Amendment right, and placing yourself in a position where now no one is willing to hire you. So what kind of things should people who are seeking a career or are in the marketplace for a job, what kind of things should they be mindful of when posting to their social media pages?
Of course, language. If it's inappropriate language, whether it's racist, whether it's degrading, whether it's just totally disrespectful.
Uh-huh.
Your language is so important, because I know that, and I catch the young folks at time when they use the N-word.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I don't say anything negative. I give them something to positive, make a statement to them, and that is one of my life learned lessons that I will send to them. I'll just give you this example where it says, I'm looking in it, where the person would use the N-word all the time. Girls use it a lot. It's just the
uh-huh.
N-word does really bug me. It really bothers
uh-huh.
me. And
mm-hmm.
so and there's cursing, there's the photos you put on. Do you sure
uh-huh.
you want to show more skin if you're trying to find a specific job? You know, are you sure you want to bully people? You know, that's another thing. When you bully people and putting other people's business out there, that's another issue.
Uh-huh.
Keep in mind, if you're going to use the social media as freedom of speech, then why are you upset when someone else says something that you don't agree with? You know, so why are you responding if that person says something to you about, and you're going to go back and try to make that person look stupid? So it's back and forth, you know. So you want to avoid
right.
those kind of discussions. Keep social, I
uh-huh.
always would like to keep social media as a positive and a learning.
Uh-huh.
You know, but I warn people about that, because it can break you. It'll break your pocketbooks. So
right.
just be careful, especially the young people, you know.
Right.
And you're right.
Waiting.
Yeah, you're 100% right at that. You have to be extra careful when you are dealing with social media. And then what makes it so cold, people steal your ID. You know, they didn't hack my Facebook page so much until it's pathetic. You know, one person, I remember, that'd been a few years back, somebody had hacked my Facebook and was going around cussing all my friends out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a little
yeah.
stuff like that, you know, and I had to say, it wasn't me, you know,
yeah.
And they was calling me and stuff and telling me, man, what's wrong with you? Are you okay? And I'm saying,
yeah.
well, you know, and so you're 100% right. People have to be extra careful, you know. So,
yeah.
but now, if since you was a professor for all these years and, you know, worked in the college, and I know people, you know, want to, you know, get into what they want to get in. They want to, you know, if they want to be a welder, you know, or if they want to be whatever they want to be, they go to college or either take a trade. But what would
yeah.
be your suggestion for if a young person want to go to college? What would be your suggestion of courses that they take? Or what they meant for them to major in, a wide open field that pays good, and you know, and it's not that, you know, hard on them, because they got some classes, I mean, it's tough.
Well, I think anything worthwhile is not easy, and I wouldn't direct that person in any field. They will have to know what feels good for them. And sure, everyone does not have to go to college, but they need to pick up some kind of skill if they're going to have a career, right? If you want to be the best painter, if you want to paint houses, just be the best painter. If you want to be the best driver, bus driver, be the best. Learn etiquette. Learn how to talk to people. Learn, you know, just be the best of what you want to be. And excel the highest. That's all I say. Just excel in whatever you want to do. Excel. I believe it was Oprah Winfrey that said that success, to be successful, you need, the key is preparation. And you always have to prepare to succeed. Nothing that is worth succeeding is easy to come by. I wouldn't want to do anything if that was too easy, because you're going to get bored to death. You say, oh, it's easy to do that, so it's time for me to move on to something else. A challenge is always good. Well, it is for me, but yeah. I don't think that too many people take too many shortcuts thinking it's the best way to make a quick dollar. And you could make a quick dollar, but how long is that dollar going to last? You know, so you need to really consider the importance of a career, regardless of what it is. Is this my career? And then, just like I did, I started a business career. I reached my plateau, and then I move on to education. I reached my plateau, and now I'm into publishing and writing. So this is my last career. So, but the thing is, you reach for your high, the highest you can go in, regardless of what field you go into. And I would not recommend any to anybody. It's all about what that person feels is best for them.
What they want to do with their life.
Long as it's good,
you know, it's putting food and paying the bills, you know, so I understand that. I definitely understand that. Well, anyway, let me make this announcement right quick. You're listening at Uplifting Communities Talk Show, sponsored by California Policy Solution, and we want to thank Mr. Mel Asagai for supporting this show. Thank you so much, Mr. Mel, for supporting our broadcast. And back to you, Tamaya.
All righty. Ms. Shotwell, I have another question. Without telling your age, and I'm hoping you're familiar with this movie, do you guys remember seeing that movie in the 70s with Sidney Poitier and Bill Cosby, A Piece of the Action? They were in that, what was it, like a vocational school, and they were teaching, you know, our community or minorities a proper job interview etiquette. Do you guys remember that?
I remember them acting together. I don't remember the storyline. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Mr. Brown, do you remember that by chance? Am I the only one to watch that movie like a gazillion times?
Well, no, okay, probably watched it and don't remember it. You know, you got to remember when you get my age, you understand, you start having Alzheimer's. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
I said that for everybody, all the audience, to start laughing. Matter of fact, if your audience want to ask a question, please press 1. If you want to ask a question or elaborate on something, press 1 and I'll let you in, okay? Okay, I'm sorry. Tamaya, go for it.
Well, the reason why I asked that question is because when I read some of Ms. Shotwell's book titles, I felt like it went along the same lines, right? Teaching our community, proper job etiquette and whatnot, how to carry yourself, and of course the social media. We just kind of talked about that. I guess my question to you is, when you came up with, what was the inspiration for your book title? Where did that come from? And, okay, so this is a two-part question. Where did the inspiration come from? And then how do you teach your audience? I'll say audience because I don't know the demographics of your average pupil, right, or the person you mentor. But how do you coach your average student on how to deal with racism, institutional racism? And the reason why I asked that question is because recently we had the Wells Fargo CEO publicly announce that while it might sound like an excuse, and these are his words, while it might sound like an excuse, the unfortunate reality is there is a very limited pool of black talent. So for them, for him to go on public, on record and say that, they're basically telling you, hey, we are not hiring, you know, African-Americans are not our choice to hire from, right, based off our past experience. So how do you coach your audience or your pupils on how to deal with stuff like that? What advice would you give them?
Like I said, I throw in my PD concept. And first, we always have interaction in the class. It's almost like a workshop. In any class, I don't care what level, we have interaction class where we will talk. We also will have, what do you call those, mock trials, and and people will pretend to say they don't. I don't allow them to curse or anything. They'll pretend to do certain things, and we will ask questions: how do you do this, and how to do that, and it was a learning process for me because some of them came up with some great ideas on the approach. But you have to keep talking to people, you know, and let them know, first of all, they have to love themselves. And you have to push that. First of all, I had one student from Nigeria who kept saying, it's better if we were all just interracial. And I asked him, well, why wouldn't you want a baby that looked like, why would you not want a baby that looked like you? And I said, you are a beautiful black man. Oh, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. I said, but you are. You're a beautiful black man, and you would make beautiful black babies. And so you have to keep encouraging them because a lot of people just do not like themselves. And so you do examples. It's all about talking and setting examples and encouraging it. After, just continue encouraging the other over and over and over and set examples. Because he didn't look at himself as being beautiful. And I said, okay, I have a fair complexion. I said, so you think I'm better by having a fair complexion? And he said, yes. I said, well, do you know how I got this complexion? He said, your mom and daddy. I said, no. My great-grandmother, great-great-grandmother was a slave from Nigeria. And she was raped at the age of 14. By her slave master in Mississippi. I said, that's how I got this color. I said, so we have to live with who we are, and we have to love who we are, regardless of how we got here. I said, you have no history of slavery, so why don't you like yourself? You know, you're a beautiful person. And he said, well, I never thought about it that way. So it's a matter of just dialogue and talking to people.
Somebody's phone is ringing.
That's coming from my computer, and I don't know what's going on. This has never happened before. I'm sorry, you guys.
All right. that was just, hey, that was Tyler Perry trying to get hold to you.
Hey,
yeah,
I'm on an interview with the VIP, Tyler. You're going to have to wait your turn. Okay, go ahead, Ms. Shotwell.
Well, you know, we got a couple of people wanted to either elaborate on something or ask you a question, Dr. Shotwell. Okay?
Well, I will try. I hope I'm doing okay. I'm trying.
Oh,
you're doing great. You're doing great.
Okay. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
Yes, Joseph Manuel. Can you hear me?
Yes, go for it.
Can you hear me? Yeah, my name is Joseph Manuel, calling from Lake Charles, Louisiana. Can I get a hello or something?
Hello,
okay.
Hello,
Mr. Manuel.
Hey.
How are you? Thank you.
You got that hello.
The question is coming.
Okay.
I'm not still in the hurricane. I'm out of the hurricane right now. But anyway,
great.
I started not to call in. I'm going through a lot of stuff. I am from Lake Charles, with all this commotion going on. But I'm glad I did. I've kind of read a little bit of your article about the guest tonight, and I'm very happy I did call in. You really spoke on something that I'm very interested in. I think it's called, did you say, PD or PTA? Or what was that? C what?
Professional Development, PD.
Development. That sounds very interesting to me, man. I would love to find a way to go back. I think I've seen it on the Uplift Communities page where I can maybe order that. I would love to give it to my young grandkids to read.
Amen.
That because that's something that being a recovering alcoholic and drug addict, I've been clean up for 37 years, but I was one broken young man.
Yes.
Yeah, one broken young man. And if I didn't have an F in my vocabulary, I didn't have too much to tell you. But, you know, through a spiritual awakening, God has changed my life, you know, way back then.
Amen.
And one of the things he was able to make me do is become humble and to serve people, and no matter what color, you know. And that to give people respect. And if you give them that, you get it back. And that's what I learned. You know, this what happened in this spiritual awakening. And when I got out of this place, man, that's what I did. And I didn't have a problem getting a job or being liked. You know, people hated when I left or I moved. You know, I had that instilled in me, man. And I used it, you know, to disrespect others. You know?
Amen.
And I got more, way more back than I deserve sometimes, I think, but you know, it was that. And I didn't have to read it, you know. But I try to share that experience with other people, and it's not as good as maybe reading. Mine was a spiritual awakening. Some people can read it and get the same kind of results. In this book you're talking about, I think some of those characters that I awoken to would be, and that would help a lot of young people, you know. I really believe that without even reading your book yet, but I got to get it. But I appreciate you coming on the show, and I wish we could do this probably. You know, we could spread this information out universally to help out a lot of young adults. So, you know, I was hearing the statement about becoming a manager overnight. Well, you know, when I got out of this rehab and start working, within 3 months, I was given a manager position because of my kindness, because of my customer service. You know, where I put people before me. So I did.
Right.
It was just instilled in me. And within 3 months, I was offered a manager job, you know.
Oh,
and,
wonderful.
Right. And like I said, and I really believe what I'm looking for to try to share with other youngsters today, because that's my motivation today, is to help others. You know, anything I can say or do to help you find what you need to better yourself, you know. That's my reward in life, to see another person, you know, lift themselves up and be happy.
That's
and
beautiful. Yeah,
and especially, I'm going to say this and stop, especially with this complexion issue. As a matter of fact, the other day, not too long ago, I ran across this guy, and he's a dark-skinned brother, and I'm a light-skinned, green-eyed man, you know. And he had some issues with light-skinned, green-eyed men, and I'm like, okay, now he's bringing me way back when I was a young man and I was crazy. And I don't want to go there. So I had to listen to this, and I'm like, So, you know, I finally had to find that inner peace within myself in order to respond to him in a respectful way, you know, and let him know you should be the most happiest man in the world. Your complexion hasn't been touched. Mine has, you know.
Amen.
And you shouldn't feel bad about a person that has my complexion, man. You know why I got it? Just like you said, man, because of what was done to my ancestors, you know.
That's
but
right.
You haven't been touched, man. That's something to be proud for. Stick your chest out, man, you know. But, you know, it was like he had a complex with light-skinned brothers. And I hope I helped him find some peace with that because he got it all wrong.
Amen. Thank you for sharing.
Right.
I'm going to shut up and let somebody else get in. But I appreciate you, ma'am. And I'm going to look up some information on some of your books. And maybe before the show is over, you can tell me how I can order that.
Okay, she's going to definitely give that information before the show is over with. Let somebody else on. Thanks a lot for calling in, Joe. Thanks a lot.
Okay,
love
you
for that,
you.
Brother.
Thank you.
All right. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from. Caller from 3848. State your name and where you're calling from.
My name is Harold James. I'm calling from Reno, Nevada.
Oh, okay.
I am a student and the younger brother of Dr. Shotwell. I just wanted to share. I just wanted to share my testimony with this awesome lady of God. I was in 1983. I graduated from college in 82. And she sent a credit card to Memphis to have me come to Pleasant Hill, California. And I got started in life under her tutelage. And what was so amazing about it is I immediately got a job in accounting, making great money with her. And what she did encourage and what she would always say was that when you find something you love, you're going to excel. And from a child, I used to walk around with keys. I wanted to be like Mr. Domino's. I wanted my own business. I wanted to learn how to run a business. I had a degree in business. And when I left accounting. I walked away from that money, and I started a job with Woolworth out there. And so, I mean, I love what I did. I was so what she was saying was when you find something you love and you dedicate it, because today when I was listening to people talking, what the last caller mentioned is that it's very easy, believe it or not, to succeed when you're doing something you love and you're thinking about that you treat your company like you do family. And that's what my sister did, and that's what she left of me. And I found myself getting promoted every year and a half. I ended up getting a good pension. And now I'm running my own business and have been running my own business. But it started, you know, with that teaching is when you find something you love. I walked away from accounting, but I started doing from a child, what I always wanted to do. And, you know, and you give something to the company, God, and you will get back. I mean, I've enjoyed the teachings. I'm so proud of what she's given me. And I'm just proud to hear, you know, that she's sharing that with the world. And I don't say this because I'm a brother. I say it because it's true.
Oh, thank you. That's my brother. Hey, Bones.
Hey, brother.
Thank you, brother.
Oh, thank you. You're so sweet. That's my sweet brother. Oh.
Really, really nice. That is really nice. I can see that. You know, you say it was 11 of you guys in the family?
11, yes.
Yeah, 11, and you the middle?
I'm the middle, and he's the baby boy.
Oh. That's powerful. That is so powerful. And I am so happy you called in, sir. Okay, for your sister, to support your sister. Okay, let's let somebody else on. Okay.
Thank you, Bone. Bye.
Thank you.
Caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
Caller
from zero. Yeah, I hear you. State your name and where you're calling from.
My name is Vivian Lee. I'm calling from Atlanta.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
Phoebe, that's my cousin.
All right.
Yes. And I too, like her brother Bone, appreciate her coming this lifetime and sharing all of her gifts. Her gifts just keep coming. They just keep coming. And she keeps giving. I did get to spend some time with her in her home in Florida, so I got to know her even better. I didn't know she was a cousin until 2016 or so. We have communicated since then, and we've become like sisters and not cousins, like sisters. And she's a great inspiration to me, and I share what I get from her. I had two majors, English and education, and I am on the same plane with her as far as writing. I just love her writing, I'm glad to see her being shared with the world also. Her views are here to help not only us as a people, but the entire world. They're for everybody.
Yes.
And I agree with her and what Bone said. Find your love, you know, because a job is a job, okay?
Yeah.
But that's why people end up going from job to job. But if you find your love, what you love doing, you will put your all into it and make the most of it. And that's what I have to say about her. She's a beautiful person inside and out. Just awesome.
Thank you, cousin.
So well said. So well said. And could we get your name one more time, ma'am, for the audience to
Vivian
Hello.
Lee.
Oh, Vivian. Okay.
Mhm. 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 Yeah.
Okay.
And one more comment, if I could, I would love to see, and I know a lot of people would. I didn't have time to spread it to too many people that the call was coming, but I'd love to see more of these calls. You guys are doing a great job with this.
Oh, thank
we need more
you.
Of this.
Thank you.
The COVID is changing things in a good way. It really is.
Yes, it is.
That's what I'm looking at. It is. It is.
Yes, it is.
To find another thing
yes.
to do. Yes, we are.
And, you know, Ms. Vivian, someone else said that. We had a discussion, and they said, you know, like, the COVID is bad, and it then hit our community and hit it hard, you know, and not only the black communities, but the United States, everybody. It hit it pretty hard. But
the whole world.
You know, but it still had, you know, it still had some positive effect with that, you know, because people are coming together more and people are listening, you know. We love it. I think we love in one another a little bit more. You know,
we
so
are.
I don't know how to.
We are. We are. I do believe it is also related to separating what the Bible says, separating the tares from the wheat. Because what's falling away, we will not need. We don't need, you know.
Right.
And my heart just explodes when I'm out in the stores and I see these fathers with these babies and these children and with their sons. I've never seen that in my entire life.
Right.
Never. And I'm almost 68. I've never seen that since my dad, since our time. You know, our club is closed.
The club is closed now. They
got to
be. I said the club is closed now. They
got to
be
a house. Right. There's a reason for everything. Everything.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
most things, everything. And what we don't need is falling away. It's falling away.
Yes.
We're going to be a better world.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Hey.
Okay. Yes.
Thank you, my cousin. I love you.
I love you too, darling. Thank you.
Thanks
all
for calling.
Thank you all for being here. You're welcome.
Thanks for calling.
Right. Okay. Well,
hey,
this
Mr.
is the last
Glenn.
One. Okay, everybody, I'm going to make this last announcement. You're listening at Uplifting Communities Talk Show, and we are so happy that California Policy Solution is sponsoring this show. And we want to give a big thanks to Mr. Mel Asagai for his support of our broadcast. And also, I wanted to make another announcement. I want to thank Miss Artie at Tea Time Honey Flavor. She's one of our supporters also, and I want to thank her. And if you guys want to get in contact with her, you know, and ask her some questions about her honey, you can always get her at her email. That's, I'm going to spell it, that's AAIKENS100email.com. Well, gmail.com. Well, at mail.com. I'm going to say it one more time. That's AAIKENS100@mail.com. And also you can get hold to her at 916-504-7138. Okay, so get in contact with her if you want to ask her some questions about her honey. Okay, she does have a beef on. Okay, back to you, Mr. Maya. Sorry.
Okay, Mr. Brown, have you disconnected all the callers? We're having a lot of interference.
What's that? Oh.
Can you disconnect or mute the callers? Because it's a lot of interference in the background.
Yeah, I'm doing that right now. Sorry about that. Okay.
Well, thank you. That's a lot better. Sorry about that, everybody. You know, I gotta mention this really, really quickly. Remember we just had that conversation, or we just spoke about social media and employers. The first
right.
thing they do is look at your social media page.
Right.
When Joseph Manuel called in out of Louisiana, the first thing I did while we was on the call, I went on and I looked at his social media page. I said, oh, he looked like he could be related to Smokey Robinson. But moving on.
Hey, don't tell him that. But he do look like a little Smokey, huh?
Yeah, next time you call in, make sure you hum us a tune. Yeah, I'm going to probe you for it. Okay, so, Ms. Chatwell,
wow.
Is there anything you would like the audience to know about you? What would you like us to know about you?
Well, if this is the last time we ever speak, and I hope it's not, I would like to be remembered in a certain way. And I would like to be remembered by the inspiration to serve. As MLK stated, not everyone can be famous, but everyone can be great through service. It is not my wish to be wealthy or famous. I wish to be remembered for my service. Sometimes I fail, and sometimes I lose.
Uh-huh.
But I'm a passionate and not afraid of doing what's right to touch others' lives through openness in my writings and in my efforts.
That's
so
beautiful. But see, even when you fail, you actually win because you learn what not to do. So when you go back and reattempt whatever it is you tried to do the first time,
right.
you know, that's one less thing you have to try out the next time. So every experience is a learning experience, and I applaud you. I genuinely applaud you for your effort to attempt to uplift our community. Again, I'm a small business owner, and
okay.
I encourage all small business owners who are listening. And even if you're not a small business owner, if you have the ability to help somebody right in our community who wouldn't otherwise have a chance, do your part.
Yeah.
You know, if it costs you a little money, it's okay. Do your part. You know, $5, $10 from us, it, you know, small, but it means the world to somebody else. So each one teach one. Thank you so much for your contribution. I'm definitely going to check out or dig deeper into your professional development book. I'm hoping I can pull out some or extract some nuggets for my trainees in my business.
Okay.
So
I wanted to say two things. First, I want to give my website. I know we're closing to the hour now. And I want to give my website.
Yeah, we have 4 minutes left.
And so my website address is TajShotwell.com, TajShotwell.com, no space. That'll lead you to the web. And also, I wanted to talk about my ultimate goal, and that is to start the boarding school. I'm doing all this writing music and everything to start a film and stage production. And the proceeds I plan to give to the boarding school, grade 7 through 12. And it's called BAAI, B-A-A-I. That is the Business of Arts Academy International. And that was the heart of this book. This is the textbook I will be using for also in those classes. I say start young. Don't wait till you're grown. Start young with the PD. And I plan to start them in seventh grade with their attitudes and behavior. And it's a nonprofit. I'm looking for, of course, big donors, both for the film, for the stage, and for the school. And let me tell you the website for the school, if you want to take a look, is thebaai.us, thebaai.us. That's thebaai.us, and that's the other website. And those are my two main projects in my heart and the service I intend to provide in this nonprofit.
All right.
Okay?
And also, I would
That's
like for
beautiful.
You to, we only got 2 minutes left on the show, so tell the audience where they can, tell the audience where they can find your books at.
Well, you can find them on Amazon, but if you want to, all you have to put in Todd Shotwell Books, and they'll show you all of them. Or you can go to my website. I don't mind shipping them to you. You can order them on my website, and I will pay for the shipping. If you want to order it on my website, I will pay for the shipping cost. And or you can go straight to Amazon if you have that Prime. A lot of people have Prime. I don't have it, but a lot of people prefer that. That's okay. So they can go to Amazon or my website for the book.
All right. Okay, well, everyone, again, you just got through listening at Uplifting Communities Talk Show, and it was sponsored by California Policy Solution, and we want to thank Mr. Mel Asagon for his support of our broadcast tonight. And we want to thank, Dr. Shotwell for coming on the show. I mean, she's an author. She's a professor. I'm talking about this lady here. I mean, she gave us some nuggets tonight. Okay, I'm really satisfied with you. Thanks a lot, Dr. Shotwell. So with that said, I'm going to go ahead on it. You know, Tamaya, you got anything? You got anything you want to say before we close it out?
No, I just again want to thank Ms. Shotwell for taking the time to bless us with her presence and bless
thank
us
you.
With her knowledge through your literary works. And, yeah, this has been a beautiful show. Thank you. Thank you, Mr.
Yeah,
Brown.
Thank you for inviting me. It's been an honor.
All right. Well, okay. Well, the show is over with, everybody. Everybody have a good night, and God bless you all, and good night.
Good night.
Good night, everyone. Oh, thank you, guys.